Stand together for the reading of God's word from Proverbs 22. And listen to this important matter. We're going to talk about let it go. Let it go, right? Don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. You ever notice how that kind of spreads? When people get upset and they get angry and everybody starts getting mad at each other, and, you know, their anger levels rise collectively. Father, may the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Singles, there's a word for you. God just told you something right there. Don't even go with a hot-tempered guy, right? Stay away from that. And then in the book of Ephesians, Paul writes it like this: since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. In other words, you got to shake that off every day. That's a constant battle every single day, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. So they have to make choices, and I have to be disciplined in order for that to happen. Put on your new nature. Just like you take off old stuff and you put it aside, you put on. Those are choices that we have to make. That's not going to happen just because we're standing there and some suit of armor is going to fall on us. We have to put on, it says, put on the new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. So whatever we're doing among the body of Christ has impact and effect on all of us, right? And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives what? A foothold to whom? You just put a welcome sign on your door when you have unjustifiable anger brewing in you on a regular basis, and you've just made an invitation. Come on, have at it. So let me declare a truth to you today. We need to learn to drop the anger. We've got a lot of that in our culture today. But when you're born again, there's a new creation work done in each of us. When you say, Lord, I surrender to you because I can't manage some of these things that come up out of my old nature on my own, I want you to be the Lord of my life, because you're the only one who can help me control these matters. And when you're born again, God expects that now you will have received his new nature. In other words, he expects you to put that on and to examine, just like articles of clothing when you get ready to go to work in the morning. And when you rise in the morning, you might not feel new, but you're to put on a whole new attitude every single day. Put on the attitude of love rather than the attitude of anger and hate. God expects us to make some changes in our lives so we can overcome the works of the flesh. Before we gave our lives to the Lord, I mean, we could go off on people when we got angry. Now that we love the Lord, he expects us to put on the nature of Jesus and to walk in his love. God expects us to deal with our baggage, because we all have it, right? And before we came to the Lord, we all had baggage. He expects us to examine our hearts and our behaviors. And when we see the baggage of pride, arrogance, baggage of deceit, lusts of any kind, whatever they may be, God expects us to deal with those, confront them. We were powerless before redemption to deal with any of those. Now we have power to deal with whatever the old nature tries to use against us. We're to begin to examine ourselves and say, wait a minute, God does not want me to make choices in that direction. I'm supposed to put on a new nature. We're to go to him and repent, and we're to say, God, I need your strength. I need what you and you alone can supply. James wrote, confess your faults one to another, that you may be healed. In other words, when you see pride, arrogance, controlling ways, confess it to a spiritual mentor. That will release you. That allows God's power to work through you and give you strength over all the baggage you dragged forward into your life. That means we're to forgive people we don't want to forgive. It's a decision. We decide to forgive. It's a choice. Yes, you can, through Christ, right? Well, I can't do, yes, you can. He gives you power to do that. The strength to drop it and walk away. And above all, we come to the conclusion, I hope you have, who am I not to forgive? When he forgave me and keeps forgiving me, how in the world can I say, I'm not going to forgive? I'm not going to be like the guy in the parable who was, you know, blessed and forgiven and strengthened, and then he goes out and he looks for someone who owes him just a pittance after he's been forgiven millions, literally, in debt. And he goes out and he grabs this guy that owes him a pittance and throws him in jail in the pauper's prison. And man, the individual in the story who said, I forgave you much, and you did this to someone who owed you so little? I'm going to turn you over to tormentors. I don't want to live like that. I need to learn to forgive, right? Jesus taught us that when we're offended, to just turn the other direction. What does that mean? Does it mean we're doormats? No, not at all. It means that we're not going to go off on people, nor are we going to quit just because we've had an offense. We learn to drop it, to walk away from it. Either is a manifestation of anger when we hold on to unforgiveness or we hold on to an offense. Paul tells us that the deeds of the flesh, here they are, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, that's a choice. When you follow. I don't go walking places unless I choose to. The results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. That's what comes up out of our old nature. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So say with me, drop the anger. Say, let it go. If you allow anger to control you, it's going to destroy you. It'll keep you from the promises of God. Now, it's not a sin to be angry for a righteous cause, but never let your anger go out of control. God's serious about helping us overcome the deeds of the flesh. He tells us not to associate with people who are constantly angry. If you see an anger in somebody that you're going out with and you pursue that all the way to its end, be careful. I hate to tell you what you're going to see later after you get married. It's not going to get better. God loved Moses, but because of his disobedience, motivated by anger, he would not allow Moses to enter the promised land. And if you've got anger issues, anybody, don't raise your hand, but everybody does. You might not explode when you get angry. It may manifest in other expressions of behavior when you get angry, because some people don't show it externally. They show it in other fashions, right? Everyone gets angry because life isn't fair at times. Ever talk to the television like I do when a newscaster comes on and there's unfairness going on, right? People aren't fair. But there's a devil out there ready to take an opportunity to destroy you. There are some things God can't do for you until you let go of the anger and deal with anger issues. Moses, in his early days as a young man in Egypt, he saw abuse. And he grew angry over the abuse by the Egyptians of the Israelis. That was justified anger. It was harsh treatment. But he allowed that anger to manifest, and Moses killed that abuser on the spot. His anger went out of control. And Moses was banished from Egypt and lived out in the wilderness for 4 decades because he was being banished. Uncontrolled anger will cause you to live in the wilderness. You'll get out there all by yourself. And later in life, Moses was angry because the people of God would not demonstrate faith in the Lord. Now, it wasn't a one-time problem with these people. It was over and over and over again. They refused to demonstrate faith. Because now God commands Moses, now go speak to the rock. and I'm going to bring out of that rock living water for them. And in the book of written to the second Corinthians, or rather to the Corinthian church, in the second epistle to that church, Paul talks about that rock being Christ. Now, it's a very, very delicate thing that he's talking about here. This is a symbolism of Jesus himself in the Old Testament. But in his anger, Moses lost control and he disobeys God. He's angry at the people and he smashes that rod against the rock. It was as if Moses struck Jesus the Son. He struck that rock in anger because of what he did. He was not allowed into the promised land. Now, if Moses would have dealt with his baggage back in the day after he left Egypt, might have gotten to go into the promised land with the rest of the people. So God's trying to tell us, no matter how old we are, we still have to deal with issues. You hear me? We have to deal with baggage. We have to get to the root of our anger. You just don't cut the top off of the plant. You have to find the root and kill it. Why are we angry? Why? What's setting us off? Why are some women angry at men? Why are some men angry with women? We have to get to the root of these things. We have to begin to look at ourselves and our history and confess our faults and obtain help from God and his word. And some have such intense anger at their father or their mother, it manifests even in sexual deviations because of the way that their lives tracked when they were young and tiny. You might need an accountability mentor if you can't control this. You might need an anger management class. You might need a mental health specialist. Well, you're telling me I need a mental health specialist? You might. You go to the doctor when you have a fever, right? When there's something out of bounds in your life. Listen, some of these things you need to have dealt with, and you go get help. And if you go to a mental health specialist, make sure they're believers, right? You have to make some changes in life. And the sooner it's dealt with, the sooner you can enter into the promises of God and have joy return once again. If you don't deal with it, you get to live in the wilderness. That's not a good place to want to live for a long period of time. So God's speaking to somebody right now about making some personal changes about how you're dealing with that old nature in your life and that spirit of failure. Time and time and time again. Anytime you give in to anger, you're giving the devil an opportunity to walk in and destroy you. Allow me to say, all have anger issues, but everybody handles anger differently. But when we catch ourselves, you have to say, wait a minute. I'm not going to allow that to manifest. I have to deal with how I am and not blame somebody else for how I am. You know that old phrase, well, you made me angry. No, you got angry on your own, right? If changes aren't made, we live under a spirit of failure all of our lives. And anytime you allow anger to control you, you're opening the door, you're inviting the adversary, come on in and have at me, right? And nobody wants to consciously do that. That's why you can't allow more than one day to go by without dealing with a manifestation of anger and dealing with those anger issues you have in your spirit. You can't allow more than one day to go by without letting go of the hurts that have occurred in your life, because if you harvest them and hold them and keep them, they will continue to grow and they will damage your future. You can't let more than one day go by without self-examination and confessing faults and getting from God the help that you need. So what anger issues drive you? I want you to stop and be honest with yourself. It does no good to lie to yourself. That's the worst form of deceit, is self-deceit. Be honest. Take the mask off and say to yourself, hey, you need to deal with this. You have let that thing fester in you for too long. Deal with it. And if you're a hurting person because of issues like this, what do you see? How do you see yourself? What issues do you constantly have with this one person or that person? What keeps coming up? What keeps tripping your ringer? What sets you off? What is it, this one thing where it just off you go, right? Examining your life. We're going to do that at the table of the Lord tonight. We are called to examine ourselves before we go to the bread and the juice. How many know when passions are aroused because a sacred covenant has been broken, anger is going to manifest? Anytime you're fearful of losing something that's yours, anger can manifest. There are people in prison today because of one moment of uncontrolled anger. There are people in the wilderness for life because of it. God still loves the person, right? His grace and love will constantly assist them, but the promised land gets lost. That's why you can't let the sun go down on your anger. So if you deal with your anger issues today, you won't have to deal with a big mess in the future. But if you don't do something about it today, then you're going to live under the spirit of failure for the rest of your days. That's a wake-up call. So it's okay to be angry if a family member violates trust. Just don't let the sun go down on your anger. It's okay to get angry with a coworker who just threw you under the bus, but don't let your anger, right, continue to go on day after day. Be angry, but sin not. And if you explode, and if you're the kind of person, not in the church, of course, not at Calvary, but if you explode and you throw things, if you explode when people do things that you don't want them to do, and if they don't do things the way you want them done, you've got an anger issue. And God's speaking to us about changing our responses. The real reason so many are angry and want to fight, they're wounded. Yeah. They never learned how to deal with the wound. Behind every face, there's a story. And I get to observe people, and you see the way they react. And the obvious sometimes is right there, this is a hurting person. He or she has not learned how to deal with the hurt. They've not learned how to release that to the Lord and just have this moment where it all just spills out. And he wants us to do that. They haven't learned yet that they've got baggage that needs to be dealt with. There's baggage and heartache behind every face in this room. And there's pain behind every face. And I dare say there's probably some kind of abuse behind every face in this room. We all need God's mercy and grace. We all need to begin to confess our faults. We all need to be able to go to Daddy, so to speak, so he can heal us. So how do you know if you've been wounded? Let's take a test. Are you ready? Is it difficult for you to be transparent? Some men tend to have a struggle with that. Meaning, you're afraid to really show your feelings. You can't really tell someone what's on the inside of you. You try to not express certain emotions. If you don't care if you hurt somebody, that says you're wounded. If someone's hurt because of what you've done, you don't care about it, that means you're wounded. Are you short-tempered? That means somewhere there's been a wound. You're not a good team player. That says you're wounded. If you're not a team player, that means it's really just about me. You're demanding. You treat your spouse like a servant rather than an equal. Getting real quiet now, isn't it? How about this? You're not teachable. You come to church, you hear the word, you go out and don't change one thing. We're observers of this, right? You just go on the way you are. That means you're not teachable. How about this one? You're a controller. How many controllers do we have in here? Liar, liar, pants on fire. Huh? Do you hurt people with your controlling attitude? Are you a loner? If you're a loner, you're wounded. And the reason you're angry is because you haven't resolved the conflicts and the wounds in your life. And you need healing from those hurts, because if you're going to overcome anger, you have to take the mask off. You have to get to the root. You have issues that you haven't dealt with. You need to give them to God and start learning how to take good care biblically of your own expressions and your emotions, but don't live in denial. If you're to overcome that short temper, You're going to have to admit you've got one. You've got to be willing to say to the Lord, I need your help, and I need to give this to you. I know you've got a good excuse as to why you've exploded in anger. I know you have a good excuse as because you went off on somebody, but you're never going to change until you face that in your heart. Quit denying you've got baggage problems and admit it so you can quit it. If you give your anger, listen, if you give your anger and express it and you give into it, you're going to say and do stuff that later on you regret and you wish you hadn't done. If you give into anger, the devil won't have to destroy you. You'll destroy yourself. And if you give into anger, you'll live under failure for the rest of your days. I don't know about you, and I don't like living like that. You'll go from job to job, broken relationship to broken relationship. Anybody know what I'm talking about here today? Right? Anytime someone needs are not met in a relationship, anger may be the result. So two people start out and they're having a great time in their relationship. They get married and things are great. And then all of a sudden walls start going up between them. Communication fails. And sometimes, not all, but some components of that lack of communication have to do with unmet needs. Expectations that weren't met. Differences in the way you were raised, for instance. You know, in one home, you may have been celebrated when you had a birthday. It was a big deal. Everybody came to the family birthday party, and everybody was cheering and laughing, celebrating you. And on the other side of the fence, there may be a lack of that happened in the other spouse's family. There was hardly ever any expressions of that, very little done about it. And that person kind of tracks with that and thinks that's normal. The other one's got an expected need being unmet, and the two of them now have a wall going up between them because no one's expressing what my needs really are and what I expect, what I think would be cool. Maybe we can look at this. And if there's no communication and there's no dialogue about some of these things, then wounds and anger can come out of that. So anytime someone's needs are not met in marriage, I mean, the tiniest thing then all of a sudden will uncork anger. You have to be able to communicate about it and calmly discuss it. And when issues arise and they're sensitive, you might even need a timeout once in a while. If you've got an anger issue and you've got to back off a little bit and you've got to take a breather, right? Wait for the fire to cool down a bit. Then communicate and get out clearly what it is that's frustrating you. Let me say it this way. Are you afraid to tell your spouse what you really think? A little rough in here this morning, isn't it? Huh? If you're afraid to tell your spouse what you really think, you've got some communication obstacles because a healthy relationship is built on honesty. Anger manifests in our lives for various reasons, and that's why we need to determined to get to the root cause of it. And by the way, anger can hurt you in many ways. Devil not only is going to hurt you, you're going to hurt yourself. I was just looking at this article researchers did from Concordia University, and they found that anger is linked to inflammation and chronic illnesses. The inflammatory biomarkers in the blood and any chronic illnesses are connected. Persistent anger predicts elevated levels of an inflammatory marker, and it's got this scientific description of that in the blood, as well as chronic illness. I'm looking at this article, and I printed it out, and I said, look, it says, unforgiveness is a kind of stress reaction, so over time, particularly as we age, it can cause negative health consequences. Now, this is not written by a Christian. This is written by people who are just doing the science, and they're telling us what the Bible's already told us. For our protection, let it go, right? What unforgiveness does, it says, is to dysregulate the operation of your cellular immune system. So when you refuse to forgive, you are lowering your ability to defend yourself against illnesses and attacks that come against you physically. Anybody know what I'm talking about here today? So people just tend to sweep stuff under the rug and they hide it and they bury it, but there's this big lump. It's an elephant in the room now, and until you trip over it, right? Until it blows up in your face. We have to determine the root cause. We have to deal with it. Anger says, there's an injustice somewhere. And we have to deal with that. We have to talk about it. An injustice that I have to let go of. You've got to have enough faith to give up control and say, God, I'm going to leave this with you because you're going to take care of it. You're the ultimate justice arbiter, right? Some people explode because things build up on the inside, because they've reached that last possible stretch of that elastic band. Someone lets you down. You feel cheated in life. And you have to be able to speak about these things that trouble you. You have to be able to communicate. And there are times when confrontation is necessary to diffuse things. Right. And if you've been wounded, there's a very good chance that confrontation is the last thing you're going to do. But Jesus commanded in his body, we go face to face with the person we perceive who offended us. So if you're offended, don't go running over here and over there. No, go to the person, Jesus said, in a spirit of reconciliation. Maybe what happened is what you think happened and it didn't happen. You perceived it. Maybe it actually did happen. But have the conversation. And if there's been a fault that actually happened, then seek forgiveness and restoration and walk away at peace. Forgiving, that's the body of Christ. You have to be able to speak in love. If you refuse to go, you'll never get to the bottom of it. Now, men have a tendency at times not to talk about issues because of pride. Men want everybody to think, I can handle it. I'll show you my cape, right? But if you'll humble yourself, God will raise you up. How many know it's difficult to admit when you're struggling with a wound? It's tough. It's difficult to talk about it. But the minute you confess it, the minute you discuss it with the Lord and with others, God comes in to help break that pattern in your life. How many know that men and women can be different when it comes to expressions of anger? Men sometimes have been taught to just kind of bury what they feel. Some homes have taught that. Men have been taught to bottle it up. Don't show emotion. You can't cry. It's all about stinking pride, folks. It's what it really is. The real problem is it looks like men don't have as many emotions as females. Then one day, out of the blue, everything explodes. One day the straw breaks the camel's back. One day you have Jekyll and the next day you've got Hyde. Neither one of those are what you really want in life, right? The problem is with wounded people, you don't know which one you're going to get on any given day. Which one's going to show up? I'm in somebody's business here today. It's fun, yeah. And people don't want to humble themselves. But anger is just like any other sin. Now, we've got all these lists of sin. That person did that, and that person did that. But, you know, we want to excuse this. It's not a big deal when you get angry. It is a big deal. Because this doesn't get better by itself. It gets worse until it's placed under the grace of God and repent and we bring about change. Issues are just going to get worse. Unless you get to the root cause and deal with it, nothing's going to change. And when there's been the domestic violence in the home because someone's attempting, could be, to gain control. Anytime someone is abusive, it's because in some way they're afraid of losing control. And now that we're born again, you're supposed to place control in the hands of God. Amen? We're supposed to have enough faith in him to say, God, not my will, your will be done. When people get angry, voices can get louder. It's because someone's trying to establish control. When a Christian curses like a sailor, it's about control. I've got to get control of this, right? When you're texting and the conversation is not going the way you want it to go in your text messages and you can't get them to respond in the way you think they should, you can control them by going silent. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Huh? All right? Right? When people are afraid when anger is manifested, it's usually because they're fearful. Fearful. And so, for those of you that don't know the Bible that well, or maybe you know Star Wars better. Yeah. Fear is the path to the dark side, said Yoda. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to what? suffering. Because it leads to hate and then suffering. So when people are afraid, when anger is manifested, it's usually because they're afraid. Afraid of losing love, afraid of being alone, afraid of not getting their way, afraid of someone walking off, afraid of being rejected. Root cause, fear. I'm not trusting God in this. And now that we're born again, we're supposed to remember God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love. Now listen to this last one, and a sound mind. We're supposed to place control in the hands of God and trust him. Anytime injustice takes place, the appropriate response is anger. We ought to be angry when racism manifests. We should be angry about that. That's righteous anger. When Jesus walked into the temple before his crucifixion and found people misusing other people by selling them at high prices, sacrificial animals, and turning that place into a place of business where again, bureaucrats were taking advantage of people who didn't have much. Jesus constructed, the scripture says, read it for yourself. He created a whip. He made one. Then he went in there and threw out all of them. He was angry. And he wasn't sinning when he was doing it because his anger was justifiably righteous. It had a motive that was from God. We ought to be angry when someone is discriminated against. That should get us upset because it's tilted righteousness out of whack. We ought to be angry when someone is deprived of their rights because of their ethnicity. But we must never forget, ultimately, at the end of the day, vengeance belongs to the Lord. As believers, we have to place every situation in God's hands and walk in forgiveness. And then when there's been injustice, we need to let the court system, the exact court system, law enforcement system, take effect and do what they're supposed to do under the hand of God. We're not to become the judge and the jury and the executioner ourselves. We must not allow ourselves to get so angry we get out of control, because one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. It's not okay to be angry and let it manifest destructively. I've been reading some of Smith Wigglesworth's works again. What a phenomenally anointed guy he was, minister. I mean, some of the things he did on the platform, your jaws would drop. When people weren't responding and they didn't feel their healing, and when they didn't sense it and they were kind of just standing there, I mean, he'd push them, he'd smack them, he'd just go after it, man, until there was a healing manifested. I mean, Smith was unbelievable. Read it. You can read his story. And he had a struggle with anger, obviously. And so he said to the Lord, later in his life, in his ministry, he said, Lord, I'm tired of this. I need to be able to curb this and control this. So he chose to go on a 10-day fast. He said, I'm going to starve my flesh until my spirit comes into subjection to the Word of God. And Smith was able to break that explosive anger that he had. At some point, we have to get a grip on issues and say, wait a minute, I'm not designed to live like this by God. I'm not going to have these issues manifesting in my life. Sometimes you have to go beyond what you're doing that isn't working and go on a fast, get some disciplines, get some counsel, get some accountability, get in God's word a little more deeply until the victory manifests. And if we're going to be angry without cause, you have to sit down and deal with whatever issue is at the root. That old nature, the reason that people seek out weak people, the reason that some people seek out weak people, I'll say it over here. The reason that some people seek out weak people so they can control them. So sometimes you'll see a very strong-willed woman pick a weaker man so she can control him. Or a wounded man picking a weaker woman so he can control her. I'm preaching here, just in case you didn't know it, okay? Cain became angry with his brother Abel. Abel brought a better sacrifice to God. It made Cain angry. He ended up killing his own brother out of manifestation of anger. Potential of misguided anger is killing. When it's taken all the way out, that's why Jesus said we don't want hate in our hearts, because it's the equivalency of murder. Well, maybe you wouldn't actually physically kill somebody, but you can kill them with your words. And if your anger causes you to get physical and you want to fight, you need help. You need help. Good people have ruined their futures in a moment of anger. Deal with them. Many are angry with the way they've been treated, and there's justification for that. You're angry because your feelings were hurt. You're angry because your pride got wounded. How many know that wounded children don't grow up? Mature. They don't mature. If children are traumatized, they can get frozen there and keep acting that out even as adults and exhibit childish behavior because there's been an unhealed trauma. And some, when they're born again, haven't ever dealt with the baggage from the past. And they get in leadership with unresolved issues, and they have a religious cloak over a deep-rooted issue. Get out of the way when that happens. They'll develop a religious spirit. They'll create havoc in the body of Christ and become a problem rather than a blessing and trouble in the church. Do you recall Jesus called some religious people vipers in the New Testament? I'm speaking about religion. Religion stinks. We need a relationship with Jesus the Christ. Let me speak to parents for a minute. Do you discipline your children when you're angry? Back away and just say to your child, I'm not going to forget this, but we'll take a few minutes and then I want to talk to you about this. Let me say to a parent, no matter what they do, never withdraw your love from them. And what do I mean by that? Let me define it. You don't support, fund, pay for, underwrite, and enable unprincipled behavior and rebellion. You don't pay for that. But you let them know you still love them. Your Heavenly Father's that way. So when your child spiritually wakes up, there's a place for them to come back to. They want to come home. Discipline them, but don't withdraw your love. Learn the distinction. God's definition of love is not to support anything his children do. God doesn't support me when I go off wandering in the wilderness doing bad things. He doesn't support that. He still loves me. He'll create disciplinary action to get my attention. So we oppose rebellion, but we share love always. Paul said that we're not to give any place to the devil. Anytime you give in to anger, you open the door for destruction to come in. You can harm your child if all you do is discipline your child because you're angry. How many people do you have to offend before you say to yourself, I think I have a problem. I think I got a problem. The reason you gossip about the person is because you have a perceived offense. Let it go. Forgive. Dismantle the wall that you create between yourself and others, whether it be your spouse or other people in the body of Christ, by picking up the parts of that wall you've assembled and throwing them on the ground and walking away from them. So I'm leaving that behind me. I'm putting this in your hands. I'm going to drop it here today. Anger is all about self. Lucifer was angry because he wanted to be worshiped like God. Anger. It's about me. It's about my rights. You see, it's vividly portrayed in Hollywood, just a little way south from where we are, among the actors and the performers and the me people in that industry, in many cases, not all. So here's what they do annually, several times a year. Let's get together and give ourselves rewards for how great we are and tell each other how fantastic we are, right? It's about me. It's the nature of the flesh man. It's all about me. Anger is all about you're violating my rights. Anger is all about give me, right? So when you're walking by faith, you've got to believe that in due season, no matter what they do, God will bring you your harvest. Even though others get blessed and you wonder, when am I going to get blessed? Are you diligently obeying the Lord? Then believe that God has his blessing coming in your direction. You may be angry. You didn't get the promotion you wanted. But faith says, hey, look, I put the right seed in the ground. I'm trusting God. In due season, he'll bring me my harvest. God will work it out because I'm his. And just because people have infringed on your rights doesn't mean God's not going to bless you. As you obey the word of God, no one can stop you from being blessed. You ever notice today there are people like walking time bombs? So much stress and pressure. Like people are ready to explode at the drop of a hat. I mean, we've got stories of people being cut off on the highway and the freeway, and someone so rude, they won't wait 2 seconds. You know, they'll try to push you out of the way for 2 seconds gain. I mean, it's crazy watching what people do. And then you get over here to 99 and 20, and the light's turned red, and I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4 cars just ran the red light. Really? I mean, the damage that can get done if you get T-boned by somebody doing stuff like that. And road rage everywhere, red light runners, people doing crazy stuff. I mean, listen to the news and you hear people killed by somebody who's got angry over what? Over really what? Because of something done in traffic? My goodness, there's financial pressure on families, pressures at work, families under pressure because they have broken relationships between them, divorces happening. Our world is like a pressure cooker. Feels like people might explode. That's why we need to set an example in our culture that we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean upon him as our source of strength. Professional counselor, Christian, here's what he wrote. He deals with anger management in his counseling. He said, quote, I am through with clients who are not born again because the only way I know to truly resolve anger issues is through a right relationship with God and the strength that he supplies. Otherwise, you just cover up everything. End quote. Anger management is ultimately linked to your walk with the Lord. He's the vine. We're the branches. Am I plugged in? He's the source of our strength. We go to him. He's got what I need. And that's why we have to have daily time with the Lord. I don't care if you have to get up a half an hour earlier than you already do. Well, I already get up at 5 o'clock. So get up 4:30. If you're going to miss your time with the Lord, you're going to pay for it somewhere. Early in the day, before all the stuff starts happening, put God first every day because he's the source of your strength. You want control? Let him give you his control. People who are angry are people who have been hurt. People who have been wounded. They don't know how to deal with it. And if you've got an issue with somebody, the issue's in you. Make a decision to let it go. If you continually suffer from depression, you may have issues that are unresolved. The issues may not be depression. It might have to do with conflict somewhere that you've never resolved. Many times depression can be suppressed anger over many frustrations and disappointments. That's why you need to let it go in the spirit. Amen? You need to drop it and let that stuff come up and out of your life. You have to let go of things that hurt you. You can't get upset every moment, every day because someone's more blessed than you are. Someone got ahead of you. Someone succeeded where you didn't. Do you believe that God is watching over your life? That in due season, he's going to bring you your miracle? Do you believe that? So whatever you do, it's necessary to resolve all the issues that have created these stressors and anger inside of you. Even if you have to visit a grave site and say, Mama, I let it go. Even if you have to visit a grave site and say, Dad, I forgive you. You need to learn to deal with the issues. Well, Pastor, bad temper is just running my family. Do you know of a family that they don't run in? Yeah? So let's break the generational curse in the name of the Lord. Amen? We've got to inherit and download our Heavenly Father's temperament, trusting God and letting him have control. And then forgive that ex so you can go on. Sometimes you have to forgive your father so you can quit making your husband pay for what your daddy did. Forgive. There's a reason why the blessings have been stifled. Quit seeing yourself as the victim. Now that you love the Lord, you're more than a conqueror through Jesus who loves you. Before you came to the Lord, you were a victim. Now you're more than a conqueror. Life's not fair. It's not going to be fair here. So just let God have control. Even when you've been betrayed, deal with those personal issues. Everybody's got them. You either allow it to fester inside of you, or God and you get together and you put it behind you. Otherwise, unresolved anger leads to unhappiness, joylessness, and the problem just festers in my heart. And I read to you, the studies are showing, that stuff is going to make you sick. There's a connection between body, soul, and spirit. It's not really anger. It's the issues. It's the wounds. It's the abuse. It's the hurts. And it comes out in forms of anger. How do we deal with it? Don't let the sun go down on it. That's the issue that you had at work. It's the issue you had in the conversation. And God says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Let's stand together. You back up. You deal with it. You resolve it. You drop it. You let it go. You say, forgive me. You look the person in the eye and you say, I hurt you. I didn't intend to do that. That was not what I wanted to have happen. I was wrong. And it doesn't really matter who was right and who was wrong anyways. What matters is you don't let the sun go down in your anger. You might have created an offense in your relationship with your spouse by just simply saying something like, don't do this at Thanksgiving. My mother made the best stuffing I've ever eaten in my life. Don't do that, okay? Until you tell your wife, and yours is even better than hers. Now, you might have a right to be angry, but don't let it get out of control. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. I give it to you. So with eyes closed for just a few seconds.